विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवाद पाश्चात्येष्टारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. सी एक्चुअली दिस इज लिटिल टेक्निकल चैप्टर and so I recommend at least, you know, each one should have access to at least one laptop. So see, if it was a simple chapter, then no issues, I can manage without PowerPoint. But today's I'll feel very handicapped if there is no PowerPoint. So okay, whatever it is, but make sure you have access to the PowerPoint. Okay. Ek aur jana aana hai to bhi aa jao idhar. Okay, you can see. Okay, so we'll start today's discussion. So it's a 3.28 ppt. okay. So this chapter is titled Kapila's Instructions on the Execution of Devotional Service. That's how Prabhupada titles it. Because Prabhupada, in describing the form of Paramatma, which is described in great detail, Prabhupada draws a parallel to worshipping the deity form of the Lord. So therefore he titles this chapter as Kapila's Instruction on the Execution of Devotional Service. You know, how one can be benefited by meditating on the deity form of the Lord. Though Kapila Dev is describing this form of the Lord for a yogi, you know, who meditates in the form of the Lord within the heart. Okay. So Kapila describes, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Tagore titles this chapter as Kapila Describes Ashtanga Yoga. Okay. So this is in response to one of the questions asked by Mother Devahuti. Yo yogo bhagavad bano nirvanatman tvayoditaha, she said. My dear Lord, please speak about that yoga which is aimed at reaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then she also asked, you know, what is this Sankhya which involves enumeration of the elements, and how many limbs does it have? So this question was answered in 26th and 27th chapters. So now in 28th chapter, Kapila Dev is going to speak on the last part of her question, which is, please speak about Ashtanga Yoga. Because that's also a part of Adhyatmic Yoga. And Devahuti wanted to very clearly understand why, how Bhakti Yoga is superior to the other two limbs of Adhyatmic Yoga, which is Sankhya and Ashtanga Yoga. So this 28th chapter speaks about Kapila's description of Ashtanga Yoga and how a devotee who is dedicated to practice of Ashtanga Yoga, how he attains liberation. If you see, it is mentioned that, you know, in Bhagavad Gita there is this yoga ladder that is described. Okay, so this yoga ladder, I would say it is more like more than ladder, you know, I would say more appropriate would be to see this. Okay. If you sit close enough, you know, I don't need a mic. But if you sit so far away, then I will need a mic. Okay. So if you sit close enough, at least 2-3 more people can have access to your laptop. A bit charana archanam. Okay, and one should worship the lotus feet of those who know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay. These are the first Yama Niyama. Okay, the way they are stated, I'll just mention, you tell me whether it is stated in the form of a yama or a niyama. Okay. Swadharma acharanam shaktya, niyama, do. Vidharmacha nivartanam, yama, one should avoid sin. It's one should avoid sin means niyama. One should not sin. One should not sin means it the same is stated like a yama. Okay. Daivad labdena santosha, niyama. Atmavit charana archanam, niyama, like that. Okay. So here Srila Prabhupada writes, Swadharma acharanam means that one must discharge the prescribed duties of his particular division of society faithfully and to the best of his ability. One should not accept another's duty. If one is born in a particular society or community, he should perform the prescribed duties of that particular division. Okay. Because in Varnashram system, it's like every particular person is described in great detail in the 7th canto, 11th chapter onwards. So there it is explained that how by practice of one's Varnashram, slowly because one gets specific prescribed duties, one is prescribed specific duties based on the modes with which he is infected. So just like when someone is infected with malaria, he gets lariago. And when someone is infected with jaundice, then he may get to drink lot of sugarcane juice, though he may not like it also. Okay. So like that, you know, different diseases, different medicines. So you cannot say, I have malaria, but I like the medicine that this jaundice person is taking. So let me take that medicine. It won't cure the disease. It might rather compound the disease. Therefore, swadharmat, vidharmacha nivartanam, and swadharma acharanam. Okay, one should perform one's duties according to Varnashrama, because that gradually purifies one. Okay, that purification is very much necessary. Okay. If, however, one is fortunate enough to transcend the designation of birth in a particular society or community, by being elevated to the standard of spiritual identity, then his swadharma or duty is solely that of serving the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada talks about two kinds of swadharma. Swadharma on the material platform and swadharma on the spiritual platform. Okay, like that. Then, gramya dharma nivrittischa moksha dharma ratistata mitamedya adanam sashvat vivikta kshema sevanam. Gramyakata nivrittischa, one should avoid duties that lead to material attachment. Moksha dharma ratistata, and be absorbed in any path that leads to liberation. Mita medya adanam. Mita means moderate. Medya means very pure, organic. In today's and in moderate quantity, both Prabhupada and Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur describe that it is mentioned that medya, mita adanam, mita book, they say, na? It means half food, 1/4 water, and 1/4 air. Okay. Shashvat vivikta shema sevanam. One should always live in a secluded, peaceful place. What did we see about this yesterday? Vivikta ruchya paritosha atmani vina harer guna piyusha panat. As long as one does not have a taste, one has not developed a taste for hearing Krishna Katha, till then it is recommended that he remains in a secluded place, like that. Okay. So, let's continue. अहिंसा सत्यमस्तेयं यावदर्थपरिग्रहः ब्रह्मचर्यं तपःशौचं स्वाध्याय पुरुषार्चनम्। अहिंसा सत्यम अस्तेयम, अस्तेयम मीन्स वन शुड नॉट स्टील। यावद अर्थ परिग्रह, वन शुड एक्सेप्ट ओनली दैट विच इज नेसेसरी। ब्रह्मचर्यम सेलिबसी, तपह ऑस्टेरिटी, शौचम क्लेनलीनेस, स्वाध्याय स्टडी ऑफ स्क्रिप्चर्स, पुरुष अर्चनम एंड वर्शिप ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड। ओके, Prabhupada writes about, therefore in yoga practice one not only must concentrate his mind on the person of Krishna but also must worship the form of the deity of Krishna daily. What is Prabhupada talking about? Purusha Archanam. Then Prabhupada writes, one cannot enjoy unrestricted sex life and practice yoga. This is rascaldom. So-called yogis advertise that one can go on enjoying as one likes and simultaneously become a yogi. But this is totally unauthorized. What is Prabhupada talking about? The word asteyam is also very important for a yogi. Asteyam means to restrain from theft. But Prabhupada gives a broader meaning now. In the broader sense, everyone who accumulates more than he needs is a thief. According to spiritual communism, one cannot possess more than he needs for his personal maintenance. Then, later, Prabhupada writes, Swadhyaya means reading authorized Vedic scriptures. Even if one is not Krishna conscious and is practicing the yoga system, he must read standard Vedic literatures in order to understand. Performance of yoga alone is not sufficient. Narottam Das Thakur, a great devotee and acharya in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, says that all spiritual activities should be understood from three sources. What are the three sources? Spiritual act, namely sadhu, shastra and guru. Guru, sadhu, shastra, like that. Practicing yoga without reading the standard literatures is simply a waste of time. Like that. Okay, so now we have done yama and niyama. Let's go to asana, pranayama and pratyahara. These three are described in this verse number 5. We are in verse number 5 now. Okay. Maunam sadasana jayah stairyam pranajaya shanaihi pratyaharaschendriyanam vishayan manasahridi. Maunam, one should observe silence. Sthairyam, maunam is also, you know, it's continuation of yama niyama. Then one should attain steadiness by sad asana jayah. One cannot keep on, you know, moving one's body and hope to develop some steadiness of one's mind. Okay, like that. Yeah. I was just going to speak about that, but I didn't want to create any controversy, so I'm just holding myself off. See, one can take the principles of Ashtanga Yoga, I mean, these are universal principles, okay, no doubt. But then, if one, there are two ways, okay, Ashtanga Yoga, there is an element of, the element of personal endeavor is little more. But if one is shaking and struggling, but internally praying to the Supreme Lord to give him some steadiness, okay, then he is accessing, he is trying to access higher powers to reach the same steadiness, isn't it? But if one is not doing that, if one is simply shaking, okay, then he is defying the Ashtanga Yoga principle that if you are not steady, how will you steady your mind? But if one is shaking desperately while internally praying, then he is trying to access the grace of Supreme Lord. So if the Supreme Lord wants, he may bestow steadiness in chanting in a person who is even running and chanting. It's possible for him if one is genuinely praying. While if someone is sitting and simply shaking, then definitely the Ashtanga Yoga rules will apply. By simply shaking, he is reducing the scope of reaching steadiness. Not necessary. I don't know, it depends on your personal relationship with someone. See, ultimately preaching is like very, very personal. You know, you cannot make, you know, it's all place, time, place, circumstances, you know, the relationship that you have established, how he would take, depends on all those things. As we said, you know, ultimately, you know, we are not Ashtanga Yogis, we are devotees. And as long as one is prayerful, see, there are various ways a person who reads this can take it, you know, a devotee may say, oh, you know, when he reads this, he may take it as, acha, so by shaking, it is hampering my endeavor to attain steadiness in chanting. So then, from tomorrow, I will stop moving. And then I will try to chant. Because he has that desire to chant purely for the pleasure of the Lord. Or another person, he may think, oh my Lord, I am helpless. If I don't shake, I may sleep. So please help me somehow. Let me develop some steadiness in chanting. So he may shake, but because he is praying intensely, the Lord will help him. Okay, like that. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna. Yeah, depends on their desire. I want to, whatever it takes for me to chant nicely for the pleasure of the Lord, why not pranayam? Definitely. If you are plugging your ears with a desire to chant properly, that is also a mechanical thing only. So why not take shelter of pranayam when we are willing to take shelter of earplugs? Then we might as well take shelter of pranayam, as long as the desire is to chant purely for the pleasure of the Lord. There is nothing wrong in that. So then, sthairyam sadasana jayah. One should attain steadiness by mastering correct asanas. Okay. Then once that is reached, pranajayah, one should control the breath. Okay, because the prana is very much controlled to, connected to the mind. The more the prana becomes steady, the mind becomes steady. Shanaihi pratyaharascha indriyanam. Gradually then one should withdraw the senses, vishayan, from the sense objects. What is this? Pratyahara. Manasa, using the mind, which is pratyahara. Like that. So the mind is steadied using pranayama, and from that steadied mind, because what is that? Indriyebhya param manaha manasastu para buddhir yo buddhe paratastu saha. So the mind is superior to the senses. So when the mind is steadied, with that steadied mind you can control the senses. But if mind is not steady, then it's not steady because the senses are controlling the mind. Then it is the opposite hierarchy. Like that. So let's continue. Then, so what is after pratyahara? Dharana. Swadeshnyanam ekadeshe manasa pranadharanam vaikuntalila bidhyanam samadhanam tatatmanah. Pranadharanam, one should fix the prana ekadeshe at one spot. Swadeshnyanam, amongst the various chakras, manasa, by the mind. Okay. So, like we saw, dharana involves meditating on the general form of the Lord. But as mentioned here, it also mentions fixing the prana at the different chakras. Okay, how they do it, only you should ask an Ashtanga yogi. Then Vaikuntha Leela Abhidhyanam. This is the next stage, Dhyana. So they meditate on the pastimes in the spiritual world also. That is also a part of their Dhyana. This will become more clear when we go a little further. Samadhanam Tata Atmanah. Then one should reach the attain Samadhi of the mind. So that is Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi. Okay. So Prabhupada here writes in the purport, there are 6 circles of vital air circulation within the body. The first circle is within the belly. The second circle is in the area of the heart. The third is in the area of the lungs. The fourth is on the palate. Fifth is between the eyebrows. And the highest, the 6th circle, is above the brain. One has to fix his mind on the circulation of the vital air and thus think of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. What is Prabhupada talking about? Here. Dharana and Dhyana also. Vaikuntha Leela Abhidhyanam, last line he mentions. It is never mentioned that one should concentrate on the impersonal or void. It is clearly stated Vaikuntha Leela. Leela means pastimes. Unless absolute truth has transcendental activities, where is the scope of thinking of these pastimes? Okay, that's very clear. Okay. Then. Proper. Yeah. Here it is described in little more detail. It also includes this. Dhyana includes meditating on the form, meditating on the pastimes also, as mentioned here. They're Mayavadis, yeah. Yeah, very much. Etair anyaischa patibhir mano dushtam asatpatam buddhya yunjita shanakair jita prano hyatandritah. Okay, then it is mentioned that if mind is little bit contaminated, shanakair yunjita dushtam manah, so if the mind becomes crooked or wicked, or if it's not cooperating, there are other ways of an Ashtanga yogi can take help from some other methods also. Like, we may sometimes take the help of Ashtanga yoga. But ultimately in doing that also, we are taking shelter of the Supreme Lord only. Because with the desire to please him only, you are taking shelter of, you know, pranayama or whatever it may be. So similarly, the Ashtanga yogi may sometimes, to control his mind, may take shelter of other paths also. Etair anyaischa patibhir. So here it is mentioned that the other processes are charity, vows, like that. You know, using those processes also, some amount of mind control one can gain. Okay. So having controlled the pranas, jita prana atandritaha, shanakair yunjita manat dushtam asatpatam, one can gradually engage the wicked mind in the path of Ashtanga yoga, but sometimes you can take shelter of these other paths like charity and vows, etc., like that. Not like that. It is all that it means. What constitutes Ashtanga yoga is, you know, these can also be considered as part of Ashtanga yoga. Hey, band kar diya. Laga do na, please. Okay. So we'll continue. Then. Shuchau deshe pratishtapya vijitasana asanam tasmin swasti samasina rujukaya samabhyaset. Vijita asana, mastering the asanas. Shuchau deshe pratishtapya, he should establish a seat in a clean place. You know, the asana requirements, what are the requirements for asana? Tasmin swasti samasina, and thereafter sitting in swastikasan. What is swastikasan? Who knows? No one knows. Like this. Padmasana is if you further put your feet like that. Swastikasan, sukhasan. With mudras. Swastikasan, mudra is also not needed. Same thing, both are same, na? Sitting normally, that is swastikasan. As Prabhupada writes here, I'll read just one second. Swasti samasinaha. And tasmin swasti samasina rijukayaha means keeping the body straight. Samabhyaset. Samabhyaset. He should practice controlling the breath. So after sitting properly, then the next is pranayama. Like that. Pranasya shodayen margam pura kumbakare chakaihi pratikulena vachittam yatastiram machanchalam. Then how the pranayama is practiced? Puraka, inhaling. Kumbaka, holding. Rechaka, releasing. And then pratikulena. Pratikulena, which means inhaling from here, holding, and then releasing like that. Yatastiram achanchalam. By this, the unsteady mind becomes steady. Then mano achirat syad virajam jitashvasasya yoginah vayuvagnibhyam yataloham dhmatham dhmatam tyajati vaimalam. Achirat, very soon, yoginah manah, the mind of that yogi, jitashvasasya, who has controlled his breathing, virajam syat, rajam means contamination, virajam means free from contamination, virajam syat. So very soon the mind of that yogi who controls his breath will become pure. Yatad matam loham tyajati vai malam, just as heated gold gives up impurities, vayuvagnibhyam, when it comes in contact with air and fire. That's exactly how they purify gold. One of the processes called zone refining. Bar of gold is taken and then there is a an electric coil is wound around it. And generally the impurities in gold have their boiling point is lesser than the melting point of gold. So when they move that coil across the gold piece, gold bar, the impurities evaporate. And then when it moves, then it re-solidifies, the gold re-solidifies like that. It gets purified. So that's how gold is treated. So very soon the mind of that yogi who controls his breath will become pure, just as heated gold gives up impurity by fire and air. So of course Prabhupada writes in the previous purport, practicing the yoga system of exercise and breath control is very difficult for a person in this age, and therefore Lord Chaitanya recommended Kirtaniya Sadahari. One should always chant the holy name of the Supreme Lord Krishna, because Krishna is the most suitable name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And also in the next purport, Prabhupada writes, one can purify the mind either by the breathing process or by the chanting process, just as one can purify the gold by putting it in fire and fanning it with a bellows. So now, how each one of these processes help the practitioner is described in the 11th verse. Pranayama irda heddoshan dharana vischakil bishan pratyaharena samsargan dhyanena nishwaran gunan. Pranayama irda heddoshan, by controlling the breath, one burns up the faults in the doshas of the body. Tridosha. The doshas of the body are kapha, pitta and vayu, by just by pranayama the faults in the doshas of the body are burned up. Okay. Dharana bischa kilbishan, by dharana one destroys sins. Okay. Pratyaharena samsargan, by pratyahara one destroys association with sense objects, because pratyahara basically means removing the senses from sense objects. Dhyanena anishwaran gunan, and by the process of dhyana one destroys uncontrollable qualities such as attraction and repulsion. Anishwaran gunan, very difficult to overcome this attraction and repulsion. Therefore, if you see, the one quality which is maximum repeated in Bhagavad Gita is that equanimity in, like, under dualities, conditions of dualities, you know, dukkesho anudvignamana sukesho vigatasprha, very difficult, maximum repeated, because that is the most difficult to attain. If someone attains that one, one should understand that he has reached a very exalted stage. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, here it is recommended that by practicing the breathing process of pranayama, one can be released from contamination created by principal physiological elements. What is physiological elements? Kapha, vata, pitta. By concentrating the mind, one can become free from sinful activities, and by withdrawing the senses, one can free himself from material association. For every item in the yoga system, there is a parallel activity in bhakti yoga. But the practice of bhakti yoga is easier for this age. What was introduced by Lord Chaitanya is not a new interpretation. Bhakti yoga and other yogas have as their ultimate goal the personality of Godhead. But one is practical and the others are difficult. Which one is practical? One has to purify his physiological condition by concentration and by restraint of the senses. Then he can fix his mind upon the Supreme Lord. That is called samadhi. Okay. Yada manasvam virajam yogena susamahitam kashtam bhagavato dhyayet svanasagravalokanah. Yada manasvam virajam, when the mind becomes purified, yogena susamahitam. And steady by yama and the other angas, svanasa agra avalokanah, looking at the tip of the nose. Okay, same description comes in 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita also. Kashtam bhagavatah dhyayet, one should then meditate on the form of the Lord, like that. So now this, so the 8 limbs have been described. So now kashtam bhagavato dhyayet, one should meditate on the form of the Lord. So what is the form of the Lord? That is the next section. Okay. So first, the general form of the Lord will be described to aid dharana, the general meditation on the form. And then the next section, 19 to 33 is the famous series of verses describing the limb by limb description of the form of the Lord. This is our Gauranga Darshan Prabhu's favorite section. That's why Gauranga Darshan. There is a reason why he got the name Gauranga Darshan. You know that, na? Huh? Because he was so much attracted by the Darshan. He was, even before initiation, he was into, you know, calendars and, you know, all the Photoshop seva. He was there. So generally, Gaurang Prabhu, Gaur Gopal Prabhu, Govind Prabhu, they get together to give names. So generally, they try to choose a name which suits his, you know, nature. Okay, like that. Many devotees, you know, depending on whatever services they were doing. Okay, my first service here for the first 3 years was alternative energy. Okay. So I guess maybe that had something to do with maybe, I don't know. Also, yeah. Okay. So we'll start the description. Prasannavadanambojam Padmagarbharunekshanam Neelotpaladalashyamam Shankachakragadhadaram. Prasannavadanambojam. One should meditate on the form with joyful lotus face. Prasannavadanambojam. Ambojam is lotus. Padmagarbha Aruna Ikshanam. Reddish lotus eyes. Neela Utpala Dala Shyamam. Utpal is a kind of lotus. Generally lilies. Lilies, lotus, all are like, you know, same family. Some people say, you know, lotus is the most beautiful. Though till date I have not been able to understand how, because I have always found the lilies more beautiful, at least here. Maybe some kind of lotus. But of course, you know, if you see all over Bhagavatam, lilies, lotuses, all same family only. That is one kind of, that is called spider lily. These are water lilies. Many kinds of, you know. Bibi hai udar, flower garden mein hai. Same, we offer lilies also. That lily is different. Okay. Okay. So then, okay, you ask what are lilies? What is the difference? I'll show you. Neela Utpala Dala Shyamam. His complexion is like a blue lotus. Shankha Chakra Gadadaram, holding Shankha Chakra Gada and Padma. Okay. Then, okay. So, Prabhupada. Hota either. Maine dekha nahi, par hoga. Okay. See, Neela Utpala is mentioned. Utpala is a lily. Neela Utpala, I have personally seen blue lilies. Okay, sure. In winter we will have, it will be full of flowers. Okay. Bhagavad Gita states that meditation on the impersonal or void feature is very troublesome to the meditator. Where does it say? Those who are attached to the impersonal or void features of meditation have to undergo a difficult process, because we are not accustomed to concentrating our minds upon anything impersonal. Actually, such concentration is not even possible. Bhagavad Gita also confirms that one should concentrate his mind on the Supreme Lord. Okay, then Prabhupada writes in the next paragraph. People always ask why Krishna is blue. The color of the Lord has not been imagined by any artist. It is described in authoritative scripture. In the Brahma Samhita also, the color of Krishna's body is compared to that of a bluish cloud. Where? Aravinda Dalayataksham Barhavatam Sam Asita Ambuda. Asita Ambuda Sundarangam. Asita is blue, Ambuda is cloud. Ambuda is that which gives water. Okay. The color of the Lord is not poetical imagination. There are authoritative descriptions in the Brahma Samhita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and many of the Puranas of the Lord's body. Of the Lord's body, his weapons and all other paraphernalia. Okay. Lasat Pankaja Kinjalka Pita Kausheya Vasasam Shrivatsa Vakshasam Brajat Kaustubha Mukta Kandaram. Okay. Lasat Pankaja Kinjalka. Lasat is dazzling, Pankaja is lotus, Kinjalka is pollen. Okay. The lotus pollen has a saffronish yellow color. Lasat Pankaja Kinjalka Pita Kausheya Vasasam. Kaushe is silk, Pita is yellow, Vasasam is dress. Shrivatsa Vakshasam, on his chest is the Shrivatsa mark. Brajat Kaustubha Amukta Kandaram. Brajat means brilliant. Kaustubha Amukta Kandaram. He is wearing a locket of Kaustubha Mani on his neck. Mattadvirepa Kalaya Paritam Vanamalaya Parardhyahara Valaya Kiritangadanupuram. పరీతం వనమాలయ, పరీతం మీన్స్ ఈస్ కవర్డ్ బై అ వనమాల. మత్త ద్విరేప కలయ, ద్విరేప, వాట్ ఇస్ అ ద్విరేప? ద్విరేప ఇస్ బంబుల్ బీ. ఓకే, వై ఇట్స్ కాల్డ్ అ ద్విరేప? హౌ డస్ అ బంబుల్ బీ సౌండ్? లైక్ దట్, రే 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 రే, ఇట్ సౌండ్స్ లైక్ దట్. ద్విరేప, ద్విరేప. ఆఫ్టర్ వి డిస్కస్డ్ అబౌట్ అంబుద, ఐ థింక్ హీ రిమెంబర్డ్ అబౌట్ వాటర్. సో మత్త ద్విరేప కలయ, మత్త ఇస్ ఇంటాక్సికేటెడ్ బంబుల్ బీస్ ఆర్ స్వామింగ్ అరౌండ్ ది ఫ్రెష్ గార్లెండ్. పరార్ధ్య హార వలయ కిరీట అంగద నూపురం. ఓకే, పరార్ధ, హీ ఈస్ వేరింగ్ ప్రైస్లెస్ హార నెక్లెసెస్, వలయ బ్రేస్లెట్స్, కిరీట క్రౌన్, అంగద ఆర్మ్ బ్యాండ్స్ అండ్ యాంక్లెట్స్ నూపుర. ఓకే, కాంచిగుణోల్లసచ్రోణిం హృదయాంబోజ విష్టరం దర్శనీయతమం శాంతం మనోనయనవర్ధనం. కాంచి గుణ ఉల్లసచ్రోణిం, శ్రోణి ఇస్ ది వేస్ట్ పోర్షన్. ఓకే, సో హిస్ హిప్స్ షోన్ విత్ ది కార్డ్స్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ బెల్ట్. ఓకే, ఉల్లసత్ మీన్స్ షైనింగ్. హృదయాంబోజ విష్టరం, హృదయ అంబోజ ఇన్ ద లోటస్ హార్ట్ విష్టరం, హీ సిట్టింగ్ ఆన్ ద లోటస్ హార్ట్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ డివోటీస్. దర్శనీయతమం, హీ ఈస్ మోస్ట్ అట్రాక్టివ్ టు సీ. శాంతం, హీస్ పీస్ఫుల్. మనోనయనవర్ధనం, మన నయన వర్ధనం, హీ ఇన్క్రీజెస్ ద జాయ్ ఆఫ్ మైండ్ అండ్ ఐస్. అపీచ్య దర్శనం శశ్వత్ సర్వలోక నమస్కృతం సంతం వయసి కైశోరే భృత్యానుగ్రహ కాతరం. అపీచ్య దర్శనం, యాస్ అ వెరీ వండర్ఫుల్ ఫామ్. సర్వలోక నమస్కృతం అండ్ హీ ఈస్ వర్షిప్డ్ బై ఆల్ పీపుల్. హీ ఈస్ శశ్వత్ కైశోరి కైశోరే వయసి సంతం, హీస్ ఎటర్నలీ ఓన్లీ 15 years old, అట్లీస్ట్ హీ లుక్స్ లైక్ దట్. భృత్య అనుగ్రహ కాతరం అండ్ హీ ఈస్ వెరీ ఈగర్ టు బ్లెస్ హిస్ సర్వెంట్స్. భృత్య అనుగ్రహ కాతరం. ఓకే, లైక్ దట్. 16, 15, 16. ఓకే, సో శీల ప్రభుపాద్ హియర్ రైట్స్ ఇన్ ద పర్పోర్ట్, the lord's facial expression always indicates that he is ready to show favor and benediction to the devotees. For the non-devotees, however, he is silent. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, although he acts equally to everyone, because he is the supreme lord and because all living entities are his sons, he is especially inclined to those engaged in devotional service. The same fact is confirmed here. He is always anxious to show favor to the devotees. Just as the devotees are always eager to render service to the Supreme Lord, the Lord is also very eager to bestow benediction upon the pure devotee. Okay, like that. Kirtanya Tirtha Yashasam Punya Shloka Yashaskaram Dhyaye Devam Samagrangam Yavan Nachavate Manaha. So till now the general form of the Lord is described as it can help a person on the stage of dharana. So how is the Lord's disposition, like that? Okay, so yeah. See, that helps the way we speak. See, basically this is in poetry, but we speak in prose form, isn't it? Like, we don't speak in poetry like becomes very difficult to understand. See, in English language we speak in a particular way, isn't it? So in Sanskrit poetry, whichever order you jumble the words, you know, person who knows poetry, he can understand it perfectly. But the way we speak in English, in prose, or even in Sanskrit prose for that matter, it has to be in particular order in order to make sense, isn't it? I cannot say, instead of in order to make sense, I cannot say sense to in order like that. It won't be in order. Like, in Sanskrit, it's quite a flexible language actually. But because we are trying to match it with the English translation, therefore, if you put it in a particular order, then it is easy to relate to, understand. The way you speak, if it is ordered, then it is easy to understand. Oh, word endings you are talking about. Oh, like that, for example, see, when two words are joined together, okay, like for example, I'll tell you, like the last line you see, Yavan na chavate manaha. Okay, that is actually because actually it should be Yavat na chavate manaha, but because after Yavat na comes, okay, then it becomes Yavan na chavate manaha, because there are these rules of, you know, sandhi and samas, you know, how, you know, when, you know, when a word may have a particular ending, but if the next word has a particular alphabet, then the ending changes if they are joined together like that. Kaishore, see, Vayasi Kaishore. Kaishore is, let's say, 16. And Vayasi is years. Instead of telling, we say 16 years old. Instead, if I say years 16 old, then it becomes, sounds little odd. That's why the way it is written in English, the same way, you write it in Sanskrit so that it's easy to relate. Yeah, no problem. Like I said, you know, Sanskrit is quite flexible. Okay. So, Dhyayet Devam Samagra Angam, one should meditate on this form of the Lord with all his limbs. Kirtanya Tirtha Yashasam, who is worthy of glorification. Okay. Punya Shloka Yashaskaram, Punya Shlokas are the devotees. He increases the fame of his devotees. So, on that Lord, one should meditate. Yavan na chyavate manaha, until the mind does not deviate. So if he has developed some steadiness in meditating on the general form of the Lord, then he can go to the stage of dhyana. Then he can move on to the next stage with his dhyana. Like for example, one is meditating on the beautiful form of the Lord, but then someone brings some offering and keeps on the altar some nice prasadam. Okay. Yavan na chavate manaha, as long as his mind does not deviate to the bhoga, which means he has developed some steadiness in meditating on the form of the Lord. See, like when we are chanting, our mind gets deviated. You know, for what reason? There's so many reasons, isn't it? Like that, for a yogi also, it may take some time to reach the steadiness of dharana. No. Until the mind does not deviate, which means till he reaches a stage where the mind is very steady and does not deviate, he cannot move on to the next stage of dhyana. Okay, like that. Okay, Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport. This yoga system should be continued until the mind does not vacillate for a moment. What is Prabhupada talking about? Yavanna chavate manaha. Om tad Vishnu paramam padam sada pasyanti suraya. The form of Vishnu is the highest individuality and is always visible to sages and saintly persons. The same purpose is served when a devotee worships the form of the Lord in the temple. There is no difference between devotional service in the temple and meditation on the form of the Lord, since the form of the Lord is the same whether he appears within the mind or in the concrete in, or in the or in some concrete element. Okay. It is not that one who meditates on the form within the mind sees differently from one who worships the form in the temple. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is absolute and there is therefore no difference between the two. Another significant word in this verse is Punya Shloka Yashaskaram. The devotee is called Punya Shloka. As one becomes purified by chanting the holy name of the Lord, so one can become purified simply by chanting the name of a holy devotee. The pure devotee of the Lord and the Lord himself are non-different. It is sometimes feasible to chant the name of a holy devotee. This is a very sanctified process. Lord Chaitanya was once chanting the holy names of the gopis when his students criticized him. Why are you chanting the names of the gopis? Why not Krishna? Lord Chaitanya was irritated by the criticism, and so there was some misunderstanding between him and his students. He wanted to chastise them for desiring to instruct him on the transcendental process of chanting. So Prabhupada takes us slightly different meaning for Punya Shloka Yashaskaram. Though in word to word meaning it's the same. Okay. And in translation also it's the same, but purport Prabhupada is slightly different. Okay. So now we move on to the next stage, which is Dhyana. Stitam vrajantam asinam shayanam vaguhashayam prekshaniye hitam dhyayet shuddha bhavena chetasa. Okay. So shuddha bhavena chetasa, which one with one's heart filled with pure emotion, dhyayet, one should meditate. Guhashayam, guha means some secret place, cave, or guha means the heart, or it could mean the spiritual world also. Guha ashayam, here it means on the Lord living in the spiritual world. Stitam vrajantam asinam shayanam. As he is standing, walking, sitting or sleeping, and prekshaniya ihitam, and performing various pastimes which are very beautiful or very enchanting to watch. So here, Srila Vishnu Chakra Thakur comments here, one should meditate on the Lord situated in Vaikuntha or at the base of a desire tree in Vrindavan, Stitam, okay? Or as he goes out of Vaikuntha or goes from the cow pens to the forest, Vrajantam. One should meditate on the Lord sitting on his jeweled throne in Vaikuntha or on the peak of Govardhan. Asinam. One should meditate on the Lord sleeping on Shesha or in a cave on Govardhan. Shayanam. His pastimes are worthy of being seen by gazing outside at the Lord from the lattice windows with hearts of pure love. Like that. So Prabhupada here writes in the purport, the process of meditating on the form of the Supreme Lord within oneself and the process of chanting the glories and pastimes of the Lord are the same. The only difference is that hearing and fixing the mind on the pastimes of the Lord is easier. than visualizing the form of the Lord within one's heart. Because as soon as one begins to think of the Lord, especially in this age, the mind becomes disturbed, and due to so much agitation, the process of seeing the Lord within the mind is interrupted. Isn't it? We are reading and hearing. It's okay. But if you say just close your eyes and just keep on meditating, for how long we will be able to do it? We can meditate, but the object of meditation will keep on changing. Okay, like that. Even while hearing, it's difficult to stay. What to speak of? Even while speaking, okay. Just few minutes back, I was thinking, I don't know, they have, you know, while I am speaking here, you know, I was thinking, what is this? They have disconnected my, you know, last 2 months somehow, by some mistake or I don't know, they have not paid the telephone bill. So this morning I realized they have disconnected my telephone. I cannot make any phone calls. I can receive, but I cannot make any phone calls. So while I am speaking here, just when I saw this cell phone, I was thinking, why did they? Like that. So even while speaking, it's so difficult. So Prabhupada says, what to speak if someone says, just close your eyes and meditate on the pastime. It's so difficult, isn't it? For example, even a child can hear and derive the benefit from the Bhagavatam that describes the Lord as he is going to the pasturing ground with his cows and friends. Hearing includes applying the mind. So therefore, hearing automatically includes applying the mind. You cannot keep on hearing and not do smaranam. It is very difficult. You will be forced to do. Whereas if you are actually forced to do, you may not be able to do. Isn't it? Say, okay, think about the past times of the Lord. Close your eyes. Difficult. But if I say, okay, just hear. But if, when you are hearing, you'll be automatically forced to apply your mind. While we are hearing about Aghasur pastime, it's, I would say, at 99% of the time while you are hearing, you'll be unconsciously visualizing it. Isn't it? Kuch to visualize karenge. Or something, maybe something you saw in the, you know, that little Krishna video or whatever it may be. Or even without the first time, generally the way it happens to me is, the first time you heard the pastime, whatever visualization that comes, you know, the place where that Aghasur, the direction in which the Aghasur snake is lying, how they enter, in the first meditation, you know, that sticks through. Generally for me, I don't know, for others. First time you hear the pastime, you sort of unconsciously imagine, okay, it is lying in this direction, they are going inside from this direction, and then they slide down like that. So that's what Prabhupada is writing. Hearing includes applying the mind. It's very difficult not to do that. Automatically you would start imagining. And because it is imagining, following in the words of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is bona fide imagination. While hearing holy name, because you are hearing the holy name only, no? Of course, if the mind goes, then you have to consciously. You should not think of other things. But once in a while, if he thinks of Vrindavan, it's okay. Because you are chanting Krishna's holy name. So if someone says no, then you have to struggle to not remember, isn't it? Instead of struggling to hear, you'll be struggling to not remember that form. If it automatically comes, it's okay. You don't have to consciously try to do it, but if it automatically comes, it's okay. Okay, whatever helps, na? Whatever helps, if it helps in your chanting, that is the purpose. What is the purpose? Like that. some devotees just, you know, they keep some, just before photo or just before each round, they may try to recall some verses to develop some relation, then chant. Whatever helps it. Ultimately, you know, the desire to improve one's chanting, the desire to, with the understanding that, you know, my spiritual progress depends on chanting. That's the most important thing. Okay. Tasmin labda padam chittam sarva vayava samsthitam vilakshay katara samyujyat ange bhagavato munihi. Munihi, the sage. Tasmin vilakshya labda padam chittam. Having concentrated his mind on seeing the Lord, sarva avayava samsthitam, with all his limbs, okay, samyujyad ekatra bhagavato ange, he should concentrate on one limb of the Lord. So what is this? Dhyana. So after having concentrated his mind on seeing the full form of the Lord, after having developed some element of steadiness in that, one should concentrate on individual limbs of the Lord. So this is dhyana. Okay. So this is what we saw in the second canto also. Ekaikasho angani dhyanu bhavaye padadi yavad hasitam gadabhrata. You remember second canto when we were discussing about dharana and then dhyana. Ekaikasho angani dhyanu bhavaye. Jitam jitam sthanam apohya dharayet param param shudyati dhiryatayata. The more, as and when we are moving from one limb to the other limb, param param shudyati dhiryatayata, the intelligence becomes more and more purified, like that. Okay, so now we move to the next section. Smaranam. I wish we had a projector. You are coming from where? You were there in comm meeting? So diet, huh? Something happened? Okay, we will have a 2 minute break, huh? He will sort of. Jai! Okay. So, are they still using the projector? You finished your presentation? Jai. Gopinath, all Gopinath only. Maybe we will revise it for Vrindavan Vihari and Gopinath together. Maybe next. I have to ask, who is good at doing this? Maybe. You can do. You put some Vrindavan Vihari pictures also. But, you know, this is, you know, while you are going through this, you know, I wish we had proper projector. Okay, please take a look at the pictures. The way Gauranga Darshan Prabhu has chosen these pictures, you will really appreciate, because we are going limb by limb description. Okay, you will see that in each of these pictures, the limb that is described will be the most prominent limb. You know, one should have a really amazing memory of, you know, all the pictures that one has seen to actually glean through those pictures and put those pictures, you know. So a really amazing job that he has done. So we will we'll go through this. That is not very old, but only recently Maharaj has changed. But yeah, these are old pictures. Okay, so smaranam. Okay, so you can just first soak in the beauty of Radha Gopinath, and then we will go to the verses, some kadamba flowers and champa. Okay. let's move to, so 328:17 we have already seen. You see, this verse talks about santam vayasi kaishore, shashvat vaisor kaishore vayasi santam. You know, he's always in his kaishore avastha. You see these two pictures, you can really appreciate the youth of Krishna. It really stands out, isn't it? The youthful, this and this. Okay. Then now we start from verse number 21. Sorry, from verse number 21. Okay, you have till 10:30, na? Okay, let's see how far we can go. Okay, so we'll chant. Sanchintayet Bhagavatas Charanaravindam Vajrankushatvaja Saroruha Lanchanadyam Uttungarakta Vilasannaka Chakravala Jyotsna Virahata Mahadhridayandakaram. Okay. So Sanchintayet Bhagavatas Charanaravindam. Sanchintayet means one should perfectly meditate. Okay. Bhagavatas Charanaravindam, the lotus feet of the Lord. Lanchana, what is the meaning of Lanchana? Marked, Lanchanadyam means marked with Vajra, the thunderbolt. You can see the thunderbolt. Where is the thunderbolt? Of course, that is the problem with okay. On which lotus? Nay. On which? Okay, white lotus is there. On the left is thunderbolt. Okay. On the left of the flag, the left hand, on the left foot. Okay. Ankusha, what is Ankusha? Elephant goad. Where is it? Next to white lotus. I think that is the Ankusha. Okay. One day you will find that also. Dwaja. Where is Dwaja? Red flag. Okay. Saroruha. Where is Saroruha? Okay. So Vajrankushat Dwaja Saroruha Lanchanadyam. It's not all forms are, not all symbols are mentioned. Okay. So what is the benefit of meditating on this form? Okay. Uttunga Rakta Vilasat Nakachakravala. Uttunga means raised up. Rakta means reddish. Vilasat means dazzling. Naka is nails. Chakravala means in the form of a curve. Okay. Semicircle. You see Gopinath's lotus feet? You know, it's curved. Uttunga Rakta Vilasat Naka. Uttunga Rakta Vilasat Naka Chakra. Go to the previous slide. Jyotsnabir. From the effulgence that emerges from this Uttunga Rakta Vilasat Naka Chakra Vala. From this reddish curve of nails, the effulgence that comes out of it, what does it do? Ahata mahad hridaya andakaram. The great deep dark distress which is present within the hearts of all conditioned souls, just by meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord, the effulgence emanating from the reddish toenails of the Lord destroys the deep sadness which is there within the hearts of all conditioned souls. Okay. That's how the meditation on the lotus feet, you know, it helps. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, the Mayavadi says that because one is unable to fix his mind on the impersonal existence of the absolute truth, one can imagine any form he likes and fix his mind on the imaginary form. But such a process is not recommended here. Imagination is always imagination and results only in further imagination. Okay. A concrete description of the eternal form of the Lord is given here. A very clear description. The Lord's soul is depicted with distinctive lines resembling a thunderbolt, a flag, a lotus flower, and a goad. Like that. Okay. So, Sanchintaye Bhagavatas Charanaravindam. Okay. So, you go to the verse. Okay. And ideally, you know, we should be memorizing this verse, but we don't have time. Each one of these verses. So, I will make you recall the word meanings so that later you can memorize. Sanchintayet Bhagavatas Charanaravindam Vajra Dekoman Ankusha. Okay. Dhvaja Saroruha Lotus. Sara means a pond. Ruha. Saroruha means one which blooms in a pond. Okay. Lanchana. Symbols, markings, adhyam, endowed with, uttunga, raised, rakta, reddish, vilasat, dazzling, naka, chakravala, curved, jyotsna, splendor, ahata, destroy, mahat, great, hridaya andakaram, within the heart, like that. Okay. So we'll go to the next verse. Okay. So now, the beauty of the lotus feet was described, but now the power of the lotus feet is going to be described. Yachaucha nishrita sarit pravarodakena tirtena murdhnya dikritena shiva shivobhut dhyatur manashamala shaila nishrishta vajram dhyayechiram bhagavatas charanaravindam. Yachaucha nishrita sarit pravarodakena. Yachaucha, washing who that lotus feet, nishrita and flowing from that lotus feet. Sarit Pravara. Sarit means river. Pravara means best of the rivers. Best of the rivers, which is the Lord, which is the foot wash of the Supreme Lord. It flows from there. Udakena, that water. Tirtena Murdni Adikritena Shiva Shivobhut. Okay. And Lord Shiva became auspicious. Shiva means auspicious. Lord Shiva got a Shivatva, the auspiciousness, by holding Mother Ganga on his head. And that Mother Ganga is none other than the lotus foot wash of the lotus feet of Krishna. Dhyatur mana shamala shaila nishrishta vajram. Okay, this vajra, the vajra and the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, just pulverizes the mountain of sins that is present within the heart of the meditator. Dhyatur mana shamala shaila nisrishta vajram. What is shaila? Mountain. Sri shaila. Dhyatur mana shamala shaila. What is shamala shaila? Mountain of sins. Shamala. Sins, Shaila, mountain, Nisrishta, pulverize, Vajram, the thunderbolt. Dhyaye Chiram, one should meditate for a long time. Bhagavatas Charanaravindam, that lotus feet of the Lord. Okay? So Srila Vishnu Jagadagur mentions here, the devotee meditates on the thunderbolt to destroy the mountains of sins. The devotees also meditate on the elephant goad to lead the elephant of his mind on the right path. That's what is Ankush kya karta hai? Elephant ko, it makes it go in the right direction. Okay. So same, when the meditator meditates on the elephant goad on one's lotus feet, the purpose of that meditation is to direct the mind in the right path. He meditates on the flag to give the highest kingdom to mind, kingdom of God. He meditates on the barley corn. You see, there is barley corn also. Previous, nahi hai, isme nahi hai. Or is it there? I don't see any barley corn here. Theek hai? He meditates on the barley corn to give the highest fame. Little mark under the right big toe. Oh, that's the barley corn. Really? Two. Acha. You're sure? Maybe. Okay. Maybe. He meditates on the umbrella to give relief from the threefold miseries. And he meditates on the chakra to give protection. Okay? आप सब लोग ने सुना ना, अभी मैं पूछने वाला हूँ. ओके, व्हाई डज ही मेडिटेट ऑन द थंडरबोल्ट? दैट्स इजी. व्हाई डज ही मेडिटेट ऑन द फ्लैग? टू गिव द हाईएस्ट किंगडम टू द माइंड, द किंगडम ऑफ गॉड. व्हाई डज ही मेडिटेट ऑन द एलिफेंट गोड? To give proper direction to the mind. Why does he meditate on the barley corn? Who knows? To give the highest fame. Why does he meditate on the umbrella? To protection from what? Threefold miseries. Highest fame. Fame, fame. What does it have to do with fame? Maybe it must have some cultural significance, you know. Barley corn indicates opulence. Probably. Yeah. Why does he meditate on the chakra? Protection. Chakra protects. Okay, like. Okay, so you see the next picture, you know, where the translation is. Lord Shiva, the Ganges is flowing from the lotus feet, and Lord Shiva is holding it on his head, and because of that, a sage is worshipping him. From threefold miseries. Okay. Okay, so let's continue. Okay. Okay, so now don't go further. See, that's why I wanted today, I especially wanted a projector and a long class, of course. So, you see, don't go further. Just press the next slide once. Next slide once more. Next slide once more. Okay, here. No, don't press anymore. Okay. So now, before you see the verse, you see this form of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu lying down. Okay. You see the, look at the picture carefully, and what is, what is something very prominent here? Mother Lakshmi. Yes, that's what he says. Okay, what is more, what is very prominent here? Mother Lakshmi is something which generally you don't see in the other pictures of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu also. Mother Lakshmi is sitting and massaging. Okay. That's what this verse is about. Janudvayam jaladalochanaya jananya lakshmya kilasya suravanditaya vidhatu urvor nidaya karapallavarochishayat samlalitam hridivibhora bhavasya kuryat Janu. Janu means the portion between the ankles and your knees. This portion, Janu, the shin. Okay. Huh? Leg. Okay. Whatever. Okay. Janu dvayam. These two parts, whatever you call. Jalaja lochanaya. Jalaja is again. Jalaja, that which sprouts out of water, lotus. Janudvayam jalajalochanaya. The jalajalochanaya, the lotus eyed mother Lakshmi. Akhilasya jananya, who is the mother of everyone, Lakshmiya. Suravanditaya, who is worshipped by all the demigods. And also Vidhatuhu jananya, she is also the mother of Brahmaji. Urvor Nidaya, she keeps it on her thighs. Kara Pallava Rochisha, and with her hands which are as soft as lotus buds, or you know, some soft buds, bud of a flower. Sam Lalitam, she is massaging. Hridi Vibhor Abhavasya Kuryat. Okay. Abhavasya Kuryat. For one should fix his heart. Hridi kuryat janudvayam viboho. One should fix his heart. Fix in the heart the two legs of the Lord who destroys material existence. Abhavasya. Okay. So his two legs are capable of destroying one's material existence. So in the second picture that you see where the translation is there it is clearly, you know, the main focus is Mother Lakshmi, isn't it? The second picture where the translation is there, you know, that stands out. That part of the picture stands out. She places those lotus feet upon her thighs. Okay, Prabhupada gives a very interesting purport here. Lakshmiji's massaging of the thighs of the Lord should not be taken as the behavior of an ordinary wife. The Lord is transcendental to the behavior of the ordinary male and female. Okay. As in the first canto, we see Uddhama Bhava Pisunama Lavalguhasa Vridava Loka Nihato Madanopi Asam Sammukhya Chapa Majahat Pramadotta Masta Yasyendriyam Vimatitum Kuhakairna Shekuhu. Very beautiful verse where it is said, Uddhama Bhava Pisuna Amala Vrida Avaloka. You know, all these beautiful smiles of, you know, once this Madan or Cupid comes to Dwaraka, okay, just to have a survey, and he observes something very interesting. Okay, so he came there to see, you know, on whom he can shoot his flower arrow. Okay, so he was watching and he saw the queens of Dwaraka and Krishna having, you know, some amorous pastimes. Okay, Uddama Bhava Pisunamala Valguhasa Vridava Loka Nihato. So he saw that the queens and Krishna are having, you know, very smiles and all the possible amorous exchanges were happening. And here our Madan was thinking, I never shot my arrows. Generally, whomever in this material world, you know, is undergoing such feelings and exchanges, they have been shot by Madan's arrow. But here he was thinking, I never shot my arrows on any of these people. Uddama Bhava Pishunamala Valguhasa Vridava Loka Madanopi Asam. Madanaha Nihato Api. Although they could conquer Cupid himself. Okay. So therefore, in great frustration, Chapam Ajahad, he threw away his you know, bow. He thought, you know, in this whole world, I thought only if I shoot the arrow, someone would undergo this. But now here it seems like there is no use for my bow. Already such exchanges are going on while I have never shot my arrows. Thinking like that in great frustration, sammuhya, he chapa majahad, he threw away his arrow. Therefore, why this verse is spoken by Suta Goswami? The dealings of Krishna with his wives are not material. Yasyendriyam vimatitum kuhakair na shekuhu. So, by the first three lines, okay, Uddama Vava Pishunamala Valguhasa Vrida Valoka Nihato Madanopiyasam Sammuhya Chapa Majahat Pramadottamasta. The first three lines indicate how the queens, these expressions of the queens towards Krishna were not material, because Madan was totally bewildered, thinking, I never shot my arrows on any of these ladies. How is it that they are showing such signs? And then the fourth line indicates the nature of Krishna. Yasya indriyam vimatitum kuhakairna shekuhu. The senses of Krishna can never be agitated by false smiles and false glances. Kuhakaihi. So neither can Krishna be agitated by material lust, nor were the expressions shown by the queens of Dwaraka material lust. Because Madan himself became bewildered, and he, in great frustration, he threw away his bow and arrow. So therefore, because Suta Goswami was describing the pastimes of Krishna, you know, this comes in the chapter of Krishna returning to Dwaraka, entering Dwaraka, and all the beautiful, how the queens of Dwaraka, even though they were grandmothers, Krishna, when he came back to Dwaraka, he already had grandchildren, and the women were almost like close to 80, 90, 100 years old. Krishna himself was about 120 years old. So, and they were showing such feelings as if a newlywed bride would have for her husband. So one may wonder, what is this? Krishna already has grandchildren. So how is it that the queens are having such one might naturally think. So immediately in between, Suta Goswami speaks this verse. I'll tell you a story. This is what happened to Madan. So it's not wrong that you got bewildered. Madan himself got bewildered. But what you can learn from Madan's bewilderment, that their feelings towards Krishna was not material. And Krishna, what is his nature? Yasyendriyam vimatitum kuhakairna shekuhu. Kuhaka indriyais. The false senses and the expressions of false senses cannot agitate Krishna. That is his nature. So therefore, you have to understand these pastimes on the in the right. Like that, many verses come where suddenly some pastime is being described, and all of a sudden some different verse comes, and they, you know, just to set the understanding right. Okay, like you can recall anything like that. I'll tell you. Which one? Battlefield? See, one thing comes, you know, when Krishna is leaving Hastinapur towards Dwaraka. Okay? Suddenly, Mother Kunti and Yudhishthir Maharaj and all the ladies, Purastriyaha, they all are like crying, some are fainting, and you know, one may wonder, Krishna is not leaving the planet. Krishna is just going to Dwaraka. After spending, he has spent sufficient time in Hastinapur, then he is going back to his own home, Dwaraka. He is not leaving the planet. Why such an exaggerated, you know, farewell? Why should people faint? He's just going to Dwarka. Even our mothers never, they would never faint. They probably cried when we joined the ashram. But they would never faint. You know, how is it that, all these people are showing such... So his peace, who is that? Sutta Goswami, understanding, he speaks this verse. What is that verse? Satsangan mukta dussango hatum notsahate buddha kirtyamanam yasho yasya sakrit akarnya rochanam tasmin nyasta diha partha saheran viraham katam darshana sparsha samlapa shayanasana bojanai. He says, satsangan mukta dussango. If by taking good association one gives up bad association, if by giving up bad association one takes up good association, even a beginner, sakrit akaranya, kirtyamanam yasho yasya sakrit akaranya, even if once he hears the glories of the Supreme Lord, he cannot give it up. Such is the potency of Krishna's name, fame, pastimes, etc. Tasmin, having said that, who are these Pandavas? Nyasta diyaha, they have given up their minds and hearts completely to Krishna. Saheran virahan katam, how can they tolerate the separation from Krishna? Darshana, sparsha, samlapa, shayana, asana, bojanaihi. They have slept with him, they have spoken with him, they have lied down together in the same bed. They have taken prasad from the same plate. No. Such is the intimate association that they have had with Krishna. How can they tolerate the separation from Krishna? So don't think that their expressions of separation are exaggerated expressions. The person who is leaving from Hastinapur to go towards Dwaraka is not an ordinary person. It is Krishna. Like that. Okay. Acha. I have never read the 10th canto. So why it comes? 10th Vishnu? Correct. Okay. So now, just press once and tell me in this picture which part of his body is more, is very clearly prominent. Thighs.
And the whole body of the Supreme Lord, the thighs are the ones which are holding the, which have the power to hold the body of the Supreme Lord. Ojo Nidhi, it's a reservoir of power. Atasika kusuma va bahaso. Atasika is a bluish flower. Atasika kusuma avabhaso. Atasika kusuma is the atasika flower which is bluish in color. Avabhaso means the radiance, the color. The Lord's body is of the color of an atasika flower. Vyalambi pita varavasasi vartamana kanchi kalapa parirambi nitamba bimbam. And the rod, and the Lord's hips are also sitting on top of Garuda, and it is covered by a golden belt, okay, that is covering his place. Parirambha is covered by, surrounded. Okay, like that. So that is about the thighs of the Lord. So here, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport here, the personality of Godhead is the reservoir of all strength. What is Prabhupada talking about?
Ojo Nidhi,
reservoir of all strength. And his strength rests on the thighs of his transcendental body. The description of the transcendental form of the Lord is exactly represented in the Archa Vigraha, the statue in the temples. Generally, the lower part of the body of the statue of the Lord is covered with yellow silk. That is the Vaikuntha dress, or the dress of the Lord, or the dress the Lord wears in the spiritual sky. This cloth extends down to the ankles. Thus, since the yogi has so many transcendental objectives on which to meditate, there is no reason for his meditating on something imaginary. as is the practice of the so-called yogis whose objective is impersonal. Yes. Okay, if there is no description given, okay, you imagine. So much description, clear description is given. Why do you want to imagine? That's what Prabhupada is asking. Okay. That's about meditation on the thighs of the Lord. Okay. Then, press once. Once more. Okay, tell me in this picture what is the most prominent part? Hands. Okay, that is one. But navel is very, in most of the other pictures you don't see the navel of the Lord. But here navel is very prominently visible, isn't it? You see? So this verse glorifies the nabi of the Lord.
Nabikradambhuvanakoshabhuholarastam yatratmayonidishanakilalokapadmam vyudam harinmanivrishastanayodamushya jayedvayam visharaharamayokagauram.
Nabi hrada. What is a hrada?
Lake.
Nabi hrada. There is a lake on the Nabi region of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. Nabi Khradam Bhuvana Kosha Guhodarastam, which acts as the base of the lotus that sprouts. Which the lotus is made of the 14 planetary systems. Bhuvana Kosha Guhodarastam. Okay, the Acharya is here. You want to speak? Come. Your section is only going on. Okay. Yatra Atmayoni Dishana Akhila Loka Padmam, from which the Atmayoni Dishana, which means the resting place of Atmayoni, Brahma. What is the resting place? Akhila Loka Padmam. Okay. Vyudam, that arises from that Nabi Hrada. Okay. And then Harin Mani Vrishas Tanayo Ramushya, and his okay, and his nipples, okay, the two nipples of the Lord are of the color of green emerald stones. Okay, but he is wearing a pearl necklace. Okay. That pearl necklace is reflecting white light. Okay. Vishada Hara Mayuka Gauram. Gauram is white color. But the white necklace which he is wearing is so dazzling that white light falls on his chest and makes that green emerald like nipples also look white. That is the description that is given. Okay. So Nabi Khradam Bhuvanakosha Guhodarastam Yatratmayoni Dishana Kilaloka Padmam Vyudam Harin Mani Vrishas Tanayo Ramushya Dhyaye Dvayam Vishadahara Mayuka Gauram. So the chest area, the Nabi area and the chest area have been described. Like that. So what is the color of his nipples?
Emerald green.
But what, when you look at it, in what color it looks?
Reflection white.
Why does it look white?
Because the pearls are so
dazzling, like the emeralds. Where are the pearls?
In the neck.
In the neck. He's wearing a pearl necklace. Okay. Like that. So, that is the 25th verse. Okay. So, Prabhupada writes an interesting purport. In the previous verse it was stated that the goddess of fortune Lakshmi, who engages in massaging the legs, ankles and thighs of the Lord, is called the mother of Brahma. She was called the Vidatuhu Jananya, the mother of Brahma. But actually Brahma is born from the abdomen of the Lord, not from the abdomen of his mother. These are inconceivable conceptions of the Lord, and one should not think materially. How can the father give birth to a child? One should not think like that. It is explained in the Brahma Samhita Which verse is going to quote from Brahmatmi? Anganiyasya sakalendriya vritti mandi. The Lord from his abdomen, male abdomen, he can give birth to Brahma. Next. Next is the Vakshasthala. Though we have seen about the chest, but specifically the Vakshasthala is described here.
Vaksho divasam rishabhasya mahavibhute pumsam manonayana nirvritimadadhanam kantam cha kaustubamanera dibhushanartam kuryan manasya kila loka namaskritasya.
So he says, manasi kuryad rishabhasya vakshaha. One should meditate within one's mind on the chest of the Supreme Lord. What is so special about this chest? Mahavibhutehe adivasam. Vasam means residence. She stays in Vaikuntha also. But adivasam means special residence, where she especially likes to stay. So this chest acts as the adivasam of Mahavibhute, means Mahalakshmi. Mother Lakshmi specially likes to stay in this residence, which is the chest of Supreme Lord. In what form does she stay? In the chest? Form of Shrivatsama. Okay. Pumsa mano nayana nirvritim adadanam. What is nirvriti? What is nirvriti? What is nirvriti? Nirvriti. Bliss. Okay. Pumsa mano nayana nirvritim adadanam. Mano nayana, it bestows bliss to the mind and eyes of the meditator. That's about the chest. Kantam, the neck of the Lord, akhila loka namaskritasya, is respected by everyone in the three worlds. What is so special about this neck? Kaustubha maner adibhushanartam, this neck is made more beautiful by the Kaustubha jewel. Like that.
Is it a special quality of the Kaustubha jewel that it makes a lot like the jewel? Because generally it is said that the Lord makes every ornament in the world.
It's both ways. It's both ways. So when it is mentioned that Kaustubha jewel makes the Lord beautiful, Kaustubha is also a devotee of the Lord. The Lord doesn't mind. Tattva wise, it is true that only the ornaments beautify the Lord. But if you go to the Lord and tell, you look so beautiful along with your Gopa boys. So he likes it. Because Kaustubha Mani is also, there is a personification. In the Sri Vaishnava understanding, you know, the personification of Kaustubha Mani is King Kulashekar. Okay. Mukunda Malatko. Mukunda Malatko. Therefore, Kaustubhamsham Dhradisham Kulashekaram Ashray. One of the Pranati mantras of King Kulashekar. Kaustubhamsham. He is the Amsha of Kaustubha. Dhradisham. He was also a king. Kulashekara Mahashari, let me take shelter of that Kulashekara.
Sri Vasmar, this is a golden hair. Just the hair.
Transcendental hair.
Takes it from
okay. So, of course, Prabhupada here translates the way Prabhuji said that the Prabhupada gives the different translation as the Kaustubha jewel is made more beautiful by the Lord. But both are right, nothing wrong. Tattva wise one is right, rasa wise the other is also right. Lord becomes happy either way.
Just on that same line. many times in trying to match actually the proper translation, if the verse says something like Yoga Yukta Tirtha Bhakti something, Chakra Prabhupada will apply Tirtha to Yoga Yukta, and then Chakra Prabhupada applies Tirtha to Bhakti.
No. It depends on their individual revelation. They may, you know, both, which are both being, you know, very chaste to the language of Sanskrit, both, you know, matching their roles. You know, there are multiple ways in which a particular thing can be interpreted. So both definitely would be right. There is no doubt about it, because definitely that would have been the translation of some other acharya. Either Jiva Goswami, Sridhar Swami, someone's translation would be there. Their own individual revelations.
Then how do you know precisely what is actually being said? We should meditate on the Lord. Who is beautified by Gosama, or we should meditate on the Lord? Who beautifies Gosama?
Whatever. See, that's what, now both are right. Whatever helps you, whatever inspires you. Prabhupada says one way you can meditate that way. Both are right. Why can't both be right? Krishna Chaitanya Thakur gives five different meanings of the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Which one is right? Only one of them can be right.
Same.
These are like different revelations. Okay. That should be our conviction while we are reading. Otherwise, we should never touch other acharyas' commentaries at all. If you think one is right, the other may not be right, or one is more right, the other makes less sense, the one makes more sense, better don't open any other acharyas' commentary. It is dangerous actually. You should have the conviction that each single word written by every acharya is absolutely right. It may not make sense to me. Let me wait till I get purified so that one day I may understand. Otherwise, there is no question of thinking this makes more sense than this. Then, better don't open any other acharya's commentary, just stick to Prabhupada's commentary. Unless we have perfect conviction on that, then it is not recommended actually. So, oh, this makes more sense because in earlier it says, Param Padam Bhushana Bhushanangam. So that clearly says that the ornaments are beautified by the Supreme Lord, not the other way around. So here Krishna Chaitanya translates as the Kaustubha Mani beautifies the Lord, so it cannot be right. You know, we cannot come to such conclusions. Different acharyas have different revelations. So they all are bona fide. We respect. At our state of purification, we may not be able to relate. We just leave it there. But at no point can we ever even imagine that maybe this makes more sense. That doubt should never creep in our heart. Like that.
So you sometimes, when we found difficult to understand the flow, with the only translation of Prabhupada, that time can we refer to the Krishna Chaitanya?
I do that. It helps me. I don't say that I recommend it for everyone. If it helps you, you can do it.
Purport reading is a like different thing. Read and understand.
See, purport, we will do this exercise. There is very less time. Otherwise, you know, in our evening discussions, every single purport from beginning to end we do, and every line we read, we try to match it with the translation, some part of the translation. That's an exercise we do, especially to gain faith that whatever Prabhupada is writing is in relation to the verse. Okay, but here, in Vidyapeeth setup, you have to take responsibility for it. We cannot do that. There is no time. There is hardly time to complete the verses only, chapter only, then how we can go into all the parts. Like that. Okay. Okay, next, about the hands of the Lord. Bahumscha mandara gire parivartanena nirnikta bahu valayan adiloka palam sanchintaye dashashataram asabhya teja shankam chatatkara saroruha raja hamsam ಮಂತ್ರಕ್ಕೆ ಬಾಹುಂಶ್ಚ ಮಂದರ ಗಿರೇಹೆ ಪರಿವರ್ತನೇನ ನಿರ್ನಿಕ್ತ ಬಾಹುವಳಯಾನ್ ಅಧಿಲೋಕ ಪಾಲಾನ್. ಸೊ ವೆನ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾಂಡ್ಸ್ ವೆರ್ ಯೂಸ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ಚರ್ನಿಂಗ್ ಮಂದಾರ ಮೌಂಟನ್, ದಿ ಬ್ರೇಸ್ಲೆಟ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ವೇರಿಂಗ್ ಇಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ಸಾರ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಸ್ಕ್ರಾಚಿಂಗ್ ದ ಮಂದಾರ ಮೌಂಟನ್. ಸೊ ದ ಮಂದಾರ ಮೌಂಟನ್ ವಾಸ್ ಆಕ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಅ ಎಮರಿಶಿ, ಏನೋ ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಎಮರಿಶಿ, ಪಾಲಿಶಿಂಗ್ ಪೇಪರ್. ಸೊ ಇಸ್ ಬ್ಯಾಂಗಲ್ಸ್ ಗಾಟ್ ಪಾಲಿಶ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ಇಸ್ ರಬ್ಬಿಂಗ್. ಸೊ ಬಾಹುಂಶ್ಚ ಮಂದರಗಿರೇಹೆ ಪರಿವರ್ತನೇನ ನಿರ್ನಿಕ್ತ ಬಾಹುವಲಯಾನ್ ಸಂಚಿಂತಯೇತ್ ದಶಶತ ಆರಂ ಅಸಖ್ಯ ತೇಜ. ಒನ್ ಶುಡ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಟ್ ಆನ್ ದಿ ಸುದರ್ಶನ್ ಚಕ್ರ ಹ್ಯಾವಿಂಗ್ ದಶಶತ ಇಸ್ 10 × 100 ಥೌಸಂಡ್ ಸ್ಪೋಕ್ಸ್, ಇಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಥೌಸಂಡ್ ಸ್ಪೋಕ್ಸ್. ಅಸಖ್ಯ ತೇಜ ವಿಚ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಅನ್ಲಿಮಿಟೆಡ್ ಇಂಟಾಲರಬಲ್ ಎಫಲ್ಜನ್ಸ್ ಪವರ್. ಶಂಕಂ ಚಕತ್ ತತ್ ಕರಸರೋರುಹ ರಾಜಹಂಸಂ. ಓಕೆ, ದಿ ಶಂಕ ಇಸ್ ಕಂಪೇರ್ಡ್ ಟು ಅ ಸ್ವಾನ್ ರಾಜಹಂಸ. ಇನ್ ದಿ ತತ್ ಕರಸರೋರುಹ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಲೋಟಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾಂಡ್ಸ್. ಡಸ್ ಇಟ್ ರಿಮೈಂಡ್ ಯು ಆಫ್ ಎನಿ ಸಿಮಿಲರ್? ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದಟ್ ವರ್ಸ್? ಸ ಉಚ್ಚಕಾಶೆ ಧವಲೋದರೋ ದರೋ ಅಪಿ ಉರುಕ್ರಮಸ್ಯಾದರ ಶೋನ ಶೋಣಿಮಾ ದಾದದ್ಯಮಾನ ಕರಕಂಜ ಸಂಪುಟೆ ಯಥಾಬ್ಜ ಷಂಡೆ ಕಲಹಂಸ ಉತ್ಸುನ. ಓಕೆ, ವೆನ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಎಂಟರಿಂಗ್ ದ್ವಾರಕ ಅಂಡ್ ಬ್ಲೋಯಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ಕಾಂಕ್ಷಲ್, ಓಕೆ, ದ ಕಾಂಕ್ಷಲ್ಸ್ ಮೌತ್ ಲುಕ್ಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಿ ಮೌತ್ ಆಫ್ ಅ ಸ್ವಾನ್. ಹೆಸರಾಯ್ತಾನೆ ಕಾಂಕ್ಷಲ್, ಇಟ್ ಲುಕ್ಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಅ ಸ್ವಾನ್ಸ್ ಮೌತ್. And the palms of Krishna's hands are pinkish like the, reddish like the lotus. His lips are reddish like the lotus. Okay? And his eyes are also reddish. And there are so many lotuses. 1, 2, 3. If he is blowing like this, then fourth also is there. The lips are there. So, that the whole thing is compared to a lake filled with lotuses. And the swan, just like it plays by, you know, putting its neck around the lotus stems, similarly the shank is looking like a swan. And then from the mouth of swan what comes? Some sound comes, no? Similarly from the mouth of this swan also the sound of the conch shell comes. So it looks like that, you know, from a distance it looked like, you know, a lake filled with many lotuses and a swan is playing in that lotus pond and it's making some sounds like that. So Srila Prabhupada writes here, all departments of law and order emanate from the arms of the Supreme Lord. The yogi is advised to meditate upon each of the spokes. He should meditate upon each and every one of the component parts of the transcendental form of the Lord, like that. ಓಕೆ, ಸೊ ಶಂಕ ಚಕ್ರ ಹೋಗ ಅವರ್ ಗದ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್. ಓಕೆ, ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ನೇಮ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಗದ? ಕೌಮೋದಕಿ.
ಕೌಮೋದಕಿಂ ಭಗವತೋ ದಯಿತಾಸ್ಮರೇತ ದಿಕ್ಕಾಮರಾತಿ ಬಹಶೋದಿತ ಕರ್ದಮೇನ ಮಾಲಾ ಮಧುರ್ಗತ ಮಧೋದ ಗಿರೋಪುಷ್ಟ
ಕೌಮೋದಕಿ ಭಗವತೋ ದಯಿತಾಂ. ಭಗವತೋ ದಯಿತಾಂ, ಕೌಮೋದಕಿ ಇಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಡಿಯರ್ ಟು ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಲಾರ್ಡ್. ಸ್ಮರೇತ, ಒನ್ ಶುಡ್ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಟ್. ಓಕೆ, ದಿಗ್ಧಾಂ ಅರಾತಿ ಬಟ ಶೋಣಿತ ಕರ್ದಮೇನ ಅಂಡ್ ದಿಸ್, ಒನ್ ಶುಡ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಟ್ ಆನ್ ದ ರೆಡಿಶ್ ಹ್ಯೂ ಆಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ಗದ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ಸ್ಮಿಯರ್ಡ್ ವಿತ್ ದ ಬ್ಲಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಫ್ಲೆಶ್ of the enemies who have been smashed by this Kaumodaki. Malam madhuvrata varuta girupagushtam, and one should also meditate on his vanamala which is constantly being swarmed by bumblebees. Okay, chaityasya tattva mamalam manimasya kante, and the again the the Kaustubha Mani, Amalam Mani, the Kaustubha jewel on his neck is again. One should meditate on that. It represents the Jiva Tattva. Okay. So both Kaumodaki is there and Kaustubha Mani is there. Kaumodaki is reddish in color, indicating one should be reminded of atheistic souls. Okay, that also he holds in his hands. And the greenish color of the Kaustubha Mani, which he holds close to his heart in the form of Kaustubha Mani, represents the subservient jivas. Subservient jivas here, atheistic jivas here, red and green, like that. Prabhupada writes in the purport, the Supreme Lord, there are two kinds of living entities mentioned here. One is called Arati. They are averse to understanding the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. For them the Lord appears with his hand clutching the terrible mace, which is always smeared with blood stains from his killing of demons. Okay. The Supreme Lord keeps on his neck those living entities who are pure, as one protects the jewels and pearls on the bosom and neck of one's body. These living entities in pure Krishna consciousness are symbolized by the pearls on his neck. Those who are demons and are inimical towards the pastimes of the Supreme Lord are punished by his mace, which is always smeared with the blood of such fallen living entities. Okay. So then, from the hands to Kamodaki to Shankar Chakra, let's now move to the beautiful face of the Supreme Lord.
Vrityanukampita dieha grihita murte sanchintaye bhagavato vadanaravindam yadvishpuran makara kundala valgitena vidyotitamala kapalulam aranasham.
Sanchintaye bhagavato vadanaravindam, one should meditate on the lotus face of the Supreme Lord. Vritya anukampita dieha grihita murte. He has accepted this form in this material world for the sole purpose of showing compassion to his devotees, servants. Udaranasam, and in this face if you see, he has a raised nose. Amala kapolam, very clear cheeks. No unshaven face like this. Very clear cheeks. Vidyotita, it is glittering. Vispurat makara kundala valgitena. So the makara kundal, which is moving in its ears, is being reflected on his cheeks. You can see that reflection on his cheeks. That's how glittering is his face. Shining is his face. That's how dazzling is his makara kundal also. Okay. Like that.
If you mention it, he has accepted this form in this world out of compassion. So in this world, we are talking about
the Archavigraha also. In material world, he appears in various forms. Archavigraha is one form. Also, Leela avataras, Manvantara avataras, Yoga avataras, so many forms he appears. So, here Prabhupada writes in the purport, the Lord appears in the particular form loved by a particular type of devotee. There are millions of forms of the Lord, but they are one absolute. Yadyad diyata urugaya vibhavayanti tattad vahu pranayase sadanam grahaya. Who says?
Brahmaji.
Brahmaji. The Lord has innumerable forms and he appears in a particular form as preferred by a particular devotee. A yogi is advised to meditate upon the forms that are approved by devotees. A yogi cannot imagine a form for meditation. Those so-called yogis who manufacture a circle or target are engaged in nonsense. Actually, a yogi must meditate upon the form of Supreme Lord that has been experienced by the Lord's pure devotees. Yogi means Yogi means devotee. Yogis who are not actually pure devotees should follow in the footsteps of devotees. It is especially mentioned here that the yogi should meditate upon the form which is thus approved. He cannot manufacture a form for the Lord. Next.
Yat Shri Niketamali Vippari Sevyamanam Bhutya Swaya Kutila Kuntala Vrinda Jushtam Meenadvayashrayamadikshuparabjanetram
Yat Shriniketam Alibihi Parisevyamanam. Shriniketam, it's an abode of beauty. Alibihi Parisevyamanam, just like a lotus is sometimes approached by swarms of bees. And then imagine a scene. Meenadvayam and two other fishes are coming and trying to play with the lotus. Very serene lake is there, beautiful lake, clear lake. And that there is a lotus. And some bumblebees are trying to play with that lotus. And some fishes are trying to come and play with the lotus. It's a nice beautiful day. How beautiful would that scene be? Adikshipad. That beautiful scene is defeated by some other beauty. Yat Shri Niketam, the face of the Lord is an abode of beauty. Bhutya Swaya, and by his own effulgence or by his beauty, Adikshipad, he destroys or he defeats the beauty of a lotus which is served by the bumblebees and the fish. Okay. Why this comparison? Kutila Kuntala Vrinda Jushtam. The Lord has, you know, very beautiful curly black hair which are compared to the bumblebees. Curly black hair is compared to bumblebees. The Lord's face is compared to
lotus.
Okay. And Meenadvayashrayam, there are two fishes. Which are the two fishes? Eyes along with the eyebrows. They look like two fishes. Meenadvayashrayam Adikshipad Abjanetram. It defeats this beautiful scene of a lotus being served by the bumblebees and fishes. Dhyayen manomayam athandrita ullasadbru. So with a very concentrated mind one should meditate on this beautiful form of the Lord. Okay, like that. That's about the beautiful face of the Lord. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, manomayam is a carving of the form of the Lord within the mind. This is included as one of the eight different carvings of the form of the Lord. It is not imagination. Meditation on the actual form of the Lord may be so manomayam may seem like it means imagination. But manomayam does not mean imagination. It's mentioned here. This is one of the eight bona fide carvings of the Lord. Okay. Meditation on the actual form of the Lord may be manifested in different manners, but one should not conclude that one has to imagine a form. There are two comparisons in this verse. First, the Lord's face is compared to the lotus, and his black hair is compared to the humming bees swarming around the lotus, and his two eyes are compared to two fish swimming about. A lotus flower in the water is very beautiful and surrounded by humming bees and fish. The Lord's face is self-sufficient and complete. His beauty defies the natural beauty of a lotus. Then, the glance of the Supreme Lord. Okay. What is the glory of his glance?
Tasyava lokam adhikam kripayati ghora
तापत्रयोपशमनायन शुष्कमक्षो स्निग्धस्मितानुगुणितं विपुलं प्रसादं ध्यायेच्छिदं विपुलभावनया गुहायम्।
तस्य अवलोकम दि ग्लान्स ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड अधिकं कृपया विच द ग्लान्स इज एंडोर्ड विथ मर्सी एंड दिस मर्सी मल्टीप्लाइज more and more and more and more in every moment. What is the capability of this merciful glance? Atigora tapashraya upashamanaya. Atigora tapatraya, very intolerable threefold miseries are destroyed by the glance of the Lord, kataksha. Upashamanaya Nisishtamakshno, for that sole purpose it emanates from the eyes of the Supreme Lord. Tapatraya upashamanaya nisishtamakshno. Nisishtam means emanates from the eyes of the Lord for the sole purpose of destroying the miseries of his devotees. Adhikam kripaya, and that mercy multiplies every moment. Snigdha smitanugunitam vipula prasadam. Snigdha smitanugunitam, and which smiles with affection. The glance of the Lord smiles with affection. Angani asya sakalendriya vrittinam. The glance of the Lord can smile. The Lord can see with a smile. Possible. Snigdha smitanugunitam vipula prasadam, with affection. Dhyaye chiram, so therefore one should meditate on this form of the Lord for a long time. Vipula bhavanaya, with great feelings of affection, guhayam, within the heart. Dhyaye chiram vipula bhavanaya guhayam. Okay. So the glance of the Lord is filled with kripa, mercy. So Srila Vishnu Chakritakur writes, one should meditate on the Lord's glance which smiles affectionately, representing all the sweetness of the Lord, which first doubles, then triples, and finally multiplies millions and millions of times in sweetness. The Prabhupada writes in the purport, the Lord bestows innumerable favors upon his devotees, and the greatest manifestation of his grace is a smiling face which is full of compassion for his pure devotees. Okay. Next, about the smile of the Lord. Okay.
Asamhare ravanata kila loka tivra शोकाश्रु सागर विशोषण मत्युदारम सम्मोहनाय रचितम निजमाय यस्य भूमण्डलम् मुनिकृते मकरध्वजस्य।
सो अति उदारम हासम हरे हरे हे हासम। द लॉर्ड्स, वन शुड मेडिटेट ऑन दिस मोस्ट जेनरस स्माइल ऑफ द लॉर्ड। जेनरस स्माइल, why? Tivra shokashru sagara visoshanam. Actually it is mentioned that every living entity has lived for unlimited lifetimes. Okay, and he has shed unlimited drops of tears in each of those lifetimes. And he said, and it is said that if you actually collect all those tears of distress in all the lifetimes of a single living entity, it would actually form a saltwater ocean. Each living entity has shed so much tears. And Hasam Harer, the beautiful smile of the Lord, is capable of in a moment drying that ocean of distress, tears of distress. Tivra shoka ashru sagara vishoshanam. Vishoshanam means completely drying. Akila loka avanata. In the surrendered devotees all over the world, when the Lord, when they take darshan, the Lord smile, it can immediately dry up the ocean of tears which they have shed because of distress. Brumandalam, one should meditate on the Lord's brow, eyebrow. Nijamayaya rachitam, which has been manufactured by his own energy, it's a special creation, Lord's eyebrow. For what purpose? Makaradvajasya sammohanaya. If you want to bewilder Makaradvaja. Who is Makaradvaja?
Cupid.
Makaradvajasya sammohanaya. If one desires to bewilder Cupid. So for that specific purpose, the Lord's internal energy has created the eyebrows of the Supreme Lord. So for the benefit of the sages, because he would go and keep shooting arrows on the sages who are trying to worship the Supreme Lord, so those eyebrows would frown at Makaradvaja and he would run away. So King Kulashekar says, Madana parihara stitim madiye Manasi Krishna Padaravinda Dhamne Haranayana Krishanuna Tushosi Smarasina Chakra Parakramam Murare. He is threatening Madan, Cupid. He Madana Pariharastitam Madiye, get out of my heart. Manasi Krishna Padaravinda Dhamne, my heart is the abode of Krishna's lotus feet. Haranayana Krishanma Krishosi, haven't you learnt your lesson? You are burnt to ashes by the glance of Lord Shiva. If Lord Shiva could burn you to ashes, Smarasina Chakra Parakramam Murare, have you forgotten the prowess of Murari's disc? You know, so get out of my heart, like that, he says. So, Sammohanaya Rachitam Nijamaya Yasya Brumandalam Munikrite Makaradvajasya. Srila Prabhupada here, sorry, Krishna Chaitanya writes here. One should meditate on the brows of the Lord which were produced to bewilder Cupids. Why should the brows bewilder Cupid? Cupid agitates the sages who are doing austerities of eating only leaves and water. Unko kya kiya? Khali pani aur patta kar rahe hain. Unko agitate karne ke liye chala gaya woh. The image is made with anger directed towards Cupid. Like that. So this is verse number 32. So just one more verse we'll complete and end. Okay, it's 29. One verse that ends this section. Okay, the last verse.
Dhyanayanam prahasitam bahuladaroshtara Vasarunayidatanadvijakunda pankti Dhyaye swadeha kuhare vasitasya vishno Bhaktyatrayapitamanana prutakvidrukshe.
Okay. Dhyaye prahasitam. Prahasitam means, hasitam means smile. Prahasitam means laughter. Dhyanayanam, which is an easy object of meditation. To meditate, you know, one need not strain hard to meditate on this laughter of the Supreme Lord. It easily captures one's heart. Tanu dvijakunda pankti, it shows rows of teeth like jasmine buds. Bhasa bahula arunayita adaroshtam, with a shining full reddish lips, upper and lower lip. Adara is the lower lip, oshta is the upper lip. na didrikshet vishnoho pritak. Okay, but only one should only meditate on this form of the Lord, but nothing else. Swadeha kuhare avasitasya, who stays within the heart of every living entity. Arpita mana, with fixed mind. Ardraya bhakti, with mature devotion and fixed mind, one should meditate on this form of the Lord. Okay, and one should especially meditate on this laughter of the Lord, which is an easy object of meditation. And Vishwanatha Thakur gives a very classic commentary to this. He says, I will read. It has been said that one should meditate on the Lord's pastime, as mentioned in one of the previous verses. The Lord sitting on a flower bed with his consort watches as she becomes frightened due to the humming of a bee. Mother Lakshmi is sitting and she becomes upright because of the humming of a bee. And moving her neck and eyes restlessly, pitifully she cries out, O King of enjoyers, I fall at your lotus feet. Please drive this evil thing away. Like that she is begging the Supreme Lord. One should meditate on the loud laughter of the Lord as he says, O King of the bees, do not leave her, enjoy her. So he is laughing and speaking like this. So one should meditate on this laughter of the Lord. Without effort, spontaneously this becomes the object of meditation. Dhyanayanam, because of its sweetness. Meditation on the sweet form, qualities and pastimes of the Lord is capable of attracting the Ashtanga yogis and drown them in bhakti rasa. Like that. So we will end there, and tomorrow we will see how this yogi eventually, after meditating and relishing such meditation on such beautiful form and pastime of the Lord, eventually gives up that form in order to achieve liberation. Okay, that unfortunate section we will read tomorrow.
Tuesday.
So you have sufficient time to meditate on the good part.
We have three days seva.
You can meditate and also serve. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.